Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to LSU Daily with Matt Moscona. Your home for all the latest Tiger news. Part of the Guarantee Podcast Network.
Okay, let's get it. It is LSU Daily from Drop Biscuit Studios, a southern home for storytellers. I'm Matt Moscona. Glad to have you aboard with us here. We did find out on Monday news that's disappointing for a lot of LSU fans. The LSU-Tennessee game a week from Saturday will be 11 a.m. in Tiger Stadium. I have some thoughts on how and why that happened. I hate it, but I understand why it happened, and we'll get into some of that coming up here shortly. Also, Cole Kublick of the SEC Network with some thoughts on LSU and Auburn before this week's tilt in Jordan-Hare.
A part of the game on Saturday where LSU beat New Mexico, we learned afterwards, post-game, Brian Kelly gave an update on Major Burns, who did not play on Saturday against New Mexico. Here's what Brian Kelly said post-game about the LSU safety.
Major situation is probably one where he's going to be lost probably for anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks with an upper neck injury. I don't want to get into the specifics when you talk about a neck injury, but he's been cleared by, you know, all of the doctors, but it's going to need some rest. But it's probably going to take between 3 and 6 weeks before we can get him back out on the field.
Yeah, that's a bummer because Major Burns, of course, who suffered an injury a year ago, missed the bulk of the season, battled his way back, and really was playing very well at the start of this season for LSU at that safety spot. Of course, they started along with Jay Ward. Then, as we all know now, they kicked Jay Ward down to nickel and moved Greg Brooks back to safety, and it looked like that was going to be a really good tandem, and now Burns has the injury, so he's out. We'll come back to safety here in just a second, but Brian Kelly did give an update today on Monday on all of the injuries, including Jaden Daniels, Major Burns, Armani Goodwin. So here was the update that Brian Kelly gave on all the injuries.
Jaden, no residual effect from Saturday. He'll be able to practice. Let's see, Jay Ward feeling really good. I think he's a go for Tuesday. We'll probably limit his workload on Tuesday, but he should be able to go. Armani, it'll be a day-to-day situation with him.
So that's great news about Daniels, who, you know, had a little lower back thing, but got up, was cleared to return, but the game was in hand. There was no need to play him, so he's good to go. That sounds like it's just all clear, good to go. Jay Ward, the timing of the game worked out so well. Of course, you beat Mississippi State. Ward kind of had that hyperextension on his knee when he got the interception. It was an ugly fall, but he got up, which was great to see. You just didn't need to play him. You didn't need to play him. So as Brian Kelly said, look, he'll should be good to go for Tuesday. Remember, they have like a light day on Monday. Then Tuesday is when they sort of get after it with the full pads practice. And then Armani Goodwin, that's the one that looked the most significant. They described it as like a hamstring and knee post game. So look, Armani Goodwin has emerged as your best running back. And I certainly don't want to speculate. I don't have any update beyond what Brian Kelly has provided, what I've been told, which hamstring, knee, and those, you know, I mean, we've watched sports long enough to know what those injuries tend to mean. So what it would certainly mean is more reps for John Emery, for Noah Cain, and for Josh Williams in whatever order they decide to go. On Saturday, they – make sure I have this right. So, of course, Goodwin started, and the second running back in after Goodwin was Emery. So they went Goodwin, then Emery was the second running back in, and they did give Josh Williams some run. It was Kane in the second half again who got going a little bit. You know, scored a couple of touchdowns also. Really strong run on that that long touchdown run for Noah Kane where he split two defenders, dragged a couple more inside the 10-yard line. So you got some options. You got guys who played a lot, maybe have been chomping at the bit for an opportunity. They might get it this week if Goodwin is in fact out, but we'll wait for an update on that. I think of greater consequence, and in particular this week, is the safety spot. And this, oddly, in a weird kind of way, really works out well for LSU. You never want to see a player get injured, and anytime a starter is injured and a backup steps in, while the backup may be capable, what that does is it hurts your depth. So now if the backup has to come out, who's now the starter for whatever reason, to take a blow or injury or anything like that, now your depth is compromised. But Joe Fouché, the timing of this is massive. Remember, Fouché is from McDonough 35 in New Orleans, went to Arkansas, wasn't recruited by LSU, went to Arkansas, has played all 4 years there. Played in 44 games with 34 career starts at Arkansas. Had an extra year because of COVID. Transfers to LSU to play his final season. Had some academic issues. Some credits didn't transfer. Had to sit out four games. And the timing of this with Fouché becoming eligible and Major Burns, the injury that's going to keep him out, couldn't have worked better. And you're talking about a situation where now Fouché and Brooks, who both were teammates at Arkansas and transferred to LSU together, are now going to be your starting safeties in this game at Auburn, a place where both have played twice in their career. So this would be the third time for each of them going to Auburn. Like, that's a pretty fortuitous circumstance that it worked out the way that it did. Brian Kelly, can you play 15, Muse? He did give an update on Fouché, who, despite the fact that he hadn't played in four games, should be good to go right away.
Yes, he's been actively involved. I think the plan has been excellent. He's been involved in any articulation between our offense and defense that hasn't involved game plan, which is quite a bit. Every day we'll have some 11-on-11 work where there is no, hey, we're getting ready for New Mexico or getting ready for Mississippi State. He's involved in that. So he's in our defensive structures. When we start to, over the past month, when we got ready for team time for our opponent, he would come over on the scout, and he was a pain to deal with because he was so good playing so hard as a scout team member that he made us better. So I've been able to firsthand see his action on a day-to-day basis, and he'll be ready to play right away.
So that's fantastic news. And when you have a guy, you know, sometimes we often say, it's an old Mike D line where we say practice is for the unskilled. Sometimes you just have to get a guy ready to go on game day. And when you're Joe Fouché and you've played 4 years in the SEC, you've played in 44 games, you've started 34 times, you've played in every freaking venue in the West twice, you're just ready to go. Like, I don't suspect that Joe Fouché is going to have much of a lag, right? Much of a learning curve. He's just played so much, and now he should be ready to roll. And the fact that he's going to be playing next to Greg Brooks, the guy he played next to at Arkansas for 4 years, is even more beneficial. The thing I'll tell you, though, is that Fouché has played Auburn four times. He's played, and the other thing about Fouché is he has the reputation as a box safety, a guy that can help against the run. Remember, Auburn, not a good passing offense. The thing they do, or should theoretically be able to do, is run the football with Jarquez Hunter, with Tank Bigsby, Robbie Ashford, who's an athletic quarterback who can run a little bit. That should be what they're good at. Now, they've struggled a lot this year, but Fouché has played Auburn four times. He's 0-4 against Auburn. He did not record a stat as a freshman in 2018. He had eight tackles the game in 2019 at home. 2020, in the COVID year, they went back to Auburn. He had five tackles and a loss. And then last year at home against Auburn and a loss, he had three tackles. So this is a guy who's played four times against Auburn, has played well four times against Auburn, but has never beaten Auburn. I would suspect that Brooks and Fouché might be pretty motivated to go get this win Saturday at Jordan-Hare Stadium, the first in both of their careers, it would be against Auburn and what would be both of their last opportunity to get a win against Auburn. So LSU and Tennessee, it will be an 11 a.m. kickoff in Baton Rouge a week from Saturday.
Everyone's disappointed. The how and why explanation is next on LSU Daily.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Today, the LSU won this weekend, 3 in a row. They beat New Mexico 38-0. We know that. And LSU's getting ready to take on Auburn Saturday at Jordan-Hare Stadium. But as is customary, the SEC on Monday announces the television schedule for the following week's games. And so we found out today that LSU is going to play Tennessee at 11 a.m. Central Time on ESPN. Yes, LSU and Tennessee is slated for a morning kickoff in Tiger Stadium. That sucks. Sucks. There's no way around it. And very candidly, from a personal standpoint, professionally, a morning kickoff is great for us. The kickoff at 11, game's done by 2:30. T-Bob and I'll do whiskey and wine. We're done by 4. I have the whole rest of my Saturday. I can take my wife out to dinner. I can play with my kid. I can relax, take a nap. It's great. And I'm telling you, I hate it for this. It is so rare now, just considering what college football is, everything you've heard a million times. Stadiums are too big. The home viewing experience is too good. The traffic stinks. Concessions. Why pay to sit in a little bitty seat and be uncomfortable? I get all of it. You're right. All of it. I get it. But there's maybe one or two times a year where you have an opportunity for a moment. You know what I mean? Like a scene. Bama has the opportunity to be that this year. But that's going to be a 2:30 game. Just prepare yourself. That's going to be 2:30 in Tiger Stadium. The LSU-Alabama game is going to be 2:30 on CBS. Ole Miss is likely going to be... Look at the SEC slate that day. The Ole Miss game is likely going to be 2:30. There's nothing else on the schedule that day, except maybe Bama, Mississippi State. So, you're going to have some more day games coming. It's just rare that you have an opportunity like LSU-Florida 2019. Just pandemonium at night in Tiger Stadium, where Tiger Stadium feels like the reputation Tiger Stadium has rightly earned over the years. That wasn't Tiger Stadium against New Mexico. That wasn't Tiger Stadium against Southern. It's not going to be Tiger Stadium against UAB. It's just rare that you get that anymore. Tennessee coming in, having not been in Baton Rouge since 2010, 12 years apart, Tennessee being ranked in the top 10. I mean, that had the possibility of kind of, like, if you want me to draw a parallel, kind of like Nick Saban's first year in Baton Rouge. I mean, unfortunately, LSU lost to UAB, but the next week they took on Tennessee when Tennessee was still at their pinnacle. They were still an elite program. I think Tennessee was maybe just outside the top 10 in that game when LSU played them in 2000. Game went to overtime, and LSU knocked off Tennessee in a crazed scene in Tiger Stadium. It was awesome. You know, you had the opportunity for that. And look, Tennessee's off this week. So Tennessee has their open date, so they got a week to heal, get ready for LSU. And so they'll come in ranked in the top 10. And if LSU beats Auburn, I don't think they'll be ranked. But you're going to have a team that's won 4 in a row, and you'll have a scene. It's not to say you can't have a great atmosphere during the day. LSU-Georgia 2003 remains one of the greatest environments I've ever seen for any college football game ever. And it was similar. You had an ascending LSU team. Georgia was in the top 10. It was like, here's your opportunity to prove it, LSU. And it was a magnificent day in Tiger Stadium. Skylar Green's catch. It was chaos. It was awesome. It was everything that anyone who's ever heard tales of Tiger Stadium would believe. So last year against Florida, you had an LSU team that had fired its coach. It fired its coach. Well, they actually, no, let me take that back. They fired the coach the next day. But they had just gotten their behinds kicked at Kentucky, and everybody knew it was over. And you didn't have a packed out Tiger Stadium at 11 a.m., but you had a great atmosphere. So you can. You can have it. But it's not going to be what it would be if that were a night game. So why is LSU Tennessee going to be at 11 a.m.? The way the conference television contracts work, CBS gets the first choice, and they get a day-night doubleheader one time a year, the 7 o'clock and 2:30 day-night doubleheader. In years past, you know that's been LSU-Bama for a lot of years. CBS has to determine before the season what weekend it wants to designate for its day-night doubleheader. So before the season, they looked at this and went, okay, Bama, A&M, for obvious reasons. A&M beat Bama last year, the Jimbo Nick stuff, get it. So they said, all right, that's going to be our night game. So the only question was what was going to be the 2:30 game, because they got to pick first and second. So they're choosing between Georgia, Auburn, the Deep South's oldest rivalry, and LSU, Tennessee. The rest of the slate is Ole Miss, Vandy, South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, Florida, Arkansas against Mississippi State. So there are games that stand out, obviously. I'm told that the SEC and LSU pushed CBS to take LSU Tennessee at 2:30. They did not. They decided to take, of course, A&M Bama at 7 o'clock and then Auburn Georgia at 2:30. And you may wonder why, because I know what you're going to say. Auburn's going to be a 3-touchdown underdog and Georgia's going to pummel them and all that stuff. And you're right. You're 100% right. LSU Tennessee has the promise of being a better game than Auburn Georgia. But CBS doesn't care about what's going to be the better game. CBS cares about what's going to bring the most eyeballs, and what brings the most eyeballs is a brand. That is why, forever and ever, Bama's always on CBS. When you're number one in the country, it doesn't matter if you're playing Mississippi State or Vanderbilt or Arkansas. CBS is going to look at the brand and put it on. That Georgia is the defending national champion. Georgia is the number one team in the country. There are going to be people who are interested because it's Georgia and Auburn. That's just the nature. And you can say, well, they wouldn't be interested in LSU and Tennessee. Sure, they would, and that's not to say they wouldn't. But Georgia-Auburn, with Georgia being number one in the country, defending national champion, is going to be more appealing to a national audience. Not you and me that know the SEC. We're talking about a national audience. Look, go back to 2011 when LSU was number one in the country for the bulk of the season. LSU played every damn game during the day that year because they just kept ending up on CBS because they were LSU. I mean, sometimes it goes that way. They know what brands sell. Let me illustrate this in reverse. This week, what's a better game this week? Number 7 Kentucky at number 14 Ole Miss or LSU at Auburn? Unranked teams and one probably about to fire its coach. What's the better game? Kentucky Ole Miss or LSU Auburn? We all know the answer. Kentucky's number 7 in the country. Ole Miss is number 14. They're undefeated. You have two undefeated teams. That's the better game. Why is LSU Auburn prime time on ESPN and Kentucky Ole Miss is at 11 a.m.? Because it's LSU and Auburn. That's why. You have two brands that on Saturday night when people are flipping channels or looking what game to stream, they're going to go, oh, LSU, Auburn. They're going to think Joe Burrow, Cam Newton, Ja'Marr Chase, Nick Fairley. You get it. It's LSU and Auburn. It's bigger. You have two bigger brands, which is what the networks care about. What's going to bring the most eyeballs? So you look ahead and it makes sense. You're going to get Georgia, the number one team in the country, the defending national champion, at 2:30 on CBS. And ESPN, this was the one option that could have put this game at night. This is the one thing ESPN could have done. ESPN could have passed on LSU-Tennessee, because ESPN cannot put a primetime game on opposite CBS when they have the primetime window. So it was not a possibility to put LSU Tennessee on ESPN in primetime opposite the CBS night game. But the SEC network has a primetime window. Paulie, pull that schedule up again if you would. So I'll remind you, last year's day-night doubleheader when A&M played Bama, that was the night LSU played Kentucky and Lexington. It was a night game, but it was on the SEC network. South Carolina, Kentucky is the night game on SEC network a week from Saturday. So after CBS picked Bama A&M and then Auburn, Georgia for 2:30, the option for ESPN, if they wanted to do LSU a favor, is they could have passed on LSU Tennessee and maybe taken Arkansas, Mississippi State, or South Carolina, Kentucky, putting that at 11 a.m. on ESPN, and then LSU Tennessee. Okay, we're going to dovetail from Corso's headgear into Arkansas, Mississippi State, or LSU Tennessee. Top 10 Tennessee in Baton Rouge against LSU Tiger Stadium. That's going to draw a national audience. Again, it sucks. I hate it. But I get why they did what they did. If they were doing LSU a favor, ESPN would have passed and let the SEC network televise LSU Tennessee at 6:30 p.m. in Tiger Stadium, and that would have been a madhouse. It would have been awesome. But they didn't. They looked out for themselves and their ratings and their advertisers, and part of me gets it. And it, yes, it sucks miserably. I'm not defending it. Please don't misunderstand me. I hate it. But I'm just explaining why it happened the way it did, that LSU's going to play Tennessee at 11 a.m. People hate it, rightfully, but it's going to happen. So get your rest on Friday. Get up early Saturday. Yeah. Pop that first top early. Be ready to roll 11 a.m. when they tee it up and kick it off with LSU and Tennessee, because that is going to be a massive opportunity for this LSU program with Tennessee coming in a week from Saturday at 11 a.m.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Every week, we visit with Cole Kublik of the SEC Network. Of course, former Auburn center, and does a great job doing radio there on Jocks FM in Birmingham and with the SEC Network. And I had a chance to talk to Cole about a lot of the goings-on in the league. Wanted to get his thoughts on LSU and, of course, Auburn and the game coming up this weekend. But I started by asking Cole in our convo just how much LSU has improved from week one to week four.
I think they're a lot better. They kind of give me the vibes of a team that has been figuring themselves out. You had some wrinkles that needed to be ironed out, and maybe it's just some early headaches that needed to be sorted through. And now it seems like they've got their five on the offensive line. Quarterback's getting more and more comfortable. They're figuring out things that he may excel in and be good at. You've got some depth at running back now. You had some changes on defense. You lose Mason Smith, had to fill that void. You know, Ollie Gay's out for a half. Olajari misses a game. So you haven't really just had everybody in. Now Seven Banks gets in last week. So they've kind of been adding and subtracting on defense, it seems, weekly. But they're getting a little more comfortable. Harold Perkins, obviously a guy now I think they know can make some plays. He's going to be able to help them in different ways. So I just think it's more of I do think they're better. Don't get me wrong, but it's been more of a learning curve, more of a feeling out process than it has just been. Okay, we took the field in game one. We took the field in game four. You know, we're three times better, two times better than we won initially. I think it's been more of a probably more of a process of just everybody learning about what they are, what they're good at, what they're not good at, and then figuring out how to move on.
Same question, maybe in reverse for Auburn.
I mean, I'm not sure they were ever great, Matt, to be honest. I think level of opponent probably helped mask some things, made some things a little bit easier. And now we're kind of figuring out, all right, that some of these things that we thought that were going to be a minor headache are, they're a major migraine and probably not going to be able to make them go away. There's not enough Excedrin for some of these issues that they have. So, and then now you've lost Tate Johnson at center. you know, you had to work without Nick Broms early, so you knew it was going to take him some time to be able to get going. Quarterback situation, the back and forth, you know, how are they going to be able to utilize those guys? Who's truly going to get comfortable? How long was it going to take them? Getting away from Tank Bigsby at times was going to be a little bit weird. All that said, I can't explain to you what's going on with the defensive line, because I thought the front would be an area that you could sort of really lean on this year and say, all right, if you had two strengths of the team, what would they be? Probably tailback in the front. And the front's been letting us down. I mean, I don't know how else you could say it. When you watch them, you just think, man, we're not getting that thing done. And they can't play gap scheme runs. Penn State absolutely gashed them with the counter. Missouri got them with some power and counter last week, and just not getting any better. So that's a part to me that just is inexplicable. And, you know, now I think you got some guys that are questioning themselves. You got some guys that I'll just say that there are some individuals on that team that are important to that team that need to figure out what they want to do. And I think that's probably as far as I can go with it.
Cole, you look at the line, it went from 7.5, it's up to 9. I mean, is LSU at this point not 9 or 10 points better than Auburn at Jordan-Hare?
Probably. Yeah, probably. I mean, listen, I understand home field, and it's big. We know home field's massive in this league. We've known that for a long time. There's no secret there. But where does Auburn pose problems is what I would ask you. You know, if LSU's offensive line is solidified, and I'm not saying that, you know, they're the favorite to win the Joe Moore Award right now, but, I mean, they've gotten better, and they seem to now know who they are and who they're going to go with. Now you can begin to build that continuity, and you can begin to sort of find a way to get a little bit better. You had a quarterback that was, I'm not going to say running for his life early. At times he was, but also, you know, a little bit trigger happy to utilize his legs. Now he's settled down some. You know who your guys are defensively. The defensive line is going to be a problem for anybody still, even without Mason Smith. Auburn couldn't block Missouri.
Yeah.
I mean, there were minimal instances in which a running back got to the line of scrimmage and had a clear pass past the line of scrimmage. I'm not talking about 5 yards past, 8, 10, 12 yards past. I'm talking just past the line of scrimmage. I mean, most of the work for the running backs began 2 yards in the backfield or a yard behind the line of scrimmage or 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And that's just, I don't know. There hasn't been a lot of creativity in the run game. Some of that's going to have to happen. But is there a receiver that can run by LSU's DBs? I mean, John Samuel Shanker's a solid tight end, but is he a mismatch for the LSU linebackers? I mean, if you look at it piece by piece, you know, I hate to go the old school Auburn Plainsman. When I was in college, the school newspaper, and, you know, they had Auburn, they had LSU, they had running backs, and they would check a box, linebackers, and they would check a box, offensive line, and they would check a box. That's not how games are won and lost, but if you played it that way, how many boxes are you checking for Auburn? I mean, kicker? I can't tell you about the punters. I don't watch the tape on the punters, so I don't really know who's better in that department either way. I don't really care. But, I mean, there are not a lot of areas that I would check Auburn and say, oh, yeah, advantage here. And then if we took it a step further, say, well, then let's look into the matchups. Where does Auburn pose a matchup problem for LSU? I'm not sure I can find any of those either. So, yeah, when you sort of lay it out like that in a very elementary essence, I don't know how LSU wouldn't be a pretty big favorite in the game.